In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Well, good morning to everybody out there that's listening in the Central Valley and beyond. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon Avenues. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side when you walk in, and, you know, I get here 9 o'clock when the store is open. They're open from 9 to 5, and there are already people here. I know the weather is a little drizzly out there. Pretty hard rain last night, but tons of people live here at First String Sports getting their Letterman's jackets put together, patches put on. I see a guy right now looking at the hats from our wonderful high schools here in the Central Section, our local schools. What a wonderful, incredible, remarkable, clutch. I mean, how many adjectives can I use to describe last night's high school football games around the Central Section? 13 games played last night. 2 Central Section titles were crowned. I was up till about 2 o'clock in the morning last night gathering all information for today's show. It was just a whirlwind of action, a whirlwind of information, of highlights, of texting coaches. I tell you what, man. You know, CIF gets a lot of grief from the way the section playoffs are handled and how seedings are done and base divisions and all that stuff, right? But the games that we got last night and the championship games that are going to be set up next week were phenomenal. Phenomenal. Incredible competition. Remarkable comebacks. Last night had it all. I can't wait to share about all these games. We're going to preview some games today as well. Talk about last night's games, obviously. But the game that we did last night on 1430 ESPN, Phil Bonanni was the play-by-play. I provided the color analysis. Central and Clovis East. Now, I bet 94% of you guys out there listening know the results of that game, right? Clovis East, the 1 seed, going in at 12-0, a magical season. They'd never been 10-0 in their school history. Central, the 3 seed, those 3 section titles back-to-back-to-back, 2017-18-19, coached by Kyle Biggs. Clovis East had beat Central on October 10th, 34-26. I mean, tons and tons of storylines. We're expecting a great game. There were like 3 different outcomes that I thought were very, very plausible. And one came out that was maybe, by some accounts, almost improbable. It seemed like Clovis East was a team of destiny. Central, they were the young guns. 12 sophomores. Sophomore starting quarterback. 12 sophomores got significant playing time. A few juniors sprinkled in. A few seniors sprinkled in. Clovis East senior heavy. A 4-year starting quarterback in Ty Miller. I mean, everything pointed to a Clovis East championship. However, never count out the Grizzlies and Coach Kyle Biggs. They put on a masterclass, especially in the second half. Come out with a 33-24 win to claim the D1 Central Section AA title at La Monica Stadium in front of a phenomenal crowd. A raucous crowd, at least on our side. When things were going Central's way, they were going nuts on their side, obviously. But what a remarkable football game. Like I said, masterclass, especially in the second half by Central. They made plays, right? Bottom line in big-time games like this is the playmakers make plays, and if the playmakers make plays, you're most likely going to win the football game. All right, I'm going to break this game down in a little bit. I won't spend too much time because I got some really good guests. They're going to help me break down this game. Game started off, man, Clovis East within, I think it was the fifth play of the game, scored on a passing touchdown from Miller to Blake Matthew. And I felt like a lot of people were like, oh, here we go. Yep, that's Clovis East. That's been their MO all season. Start off hot. In fact, just looked this up this morning. Clovis East averaged for this season through 12 games, 15 points a game in the first quarter, 14 points a game in the second quarter. So a fast starting team. Third quarter drops off. Fourth quarter drops off as well. Fourth quarter, I can understand. They've been in some running clock games. But they are a first half team. Sure enough, first possession, boom, 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 boom. They got great field position off of the kickoff. Recovered a fumble. Central fumbled around the 50-yard line. Clovis East, again, drives down. Had first and goal from the 5-yard line. So they had an opportunity to go up 13, 14 points early in the first quarter. All right, send a message to Central. Couple penalties. There's an illegal procedure. Central gets the stop. And Phil Benatti and I were saying, hey, that was a win. Held them to a field goal. That was a win for Central. Right? Those are the opportunities in a championship game that need to be taken advantage of. And Clovis East, right, they got the field goal, but they, they left some points on the field. First and goal from the 5. Settle for a field goal. 17-14 at half. Clovis East led. And we said this at halftime on the broadcast as well. I felt like Central was in a really good spot. Down 3, but I felt like they were in a great spot coming out in the second half. You know, I mentioned that Clovis East is a first-half team. Coach Biggs and staff does a fantastic job making adjustments, and sure enough, they did. Held Clovis East to only one touchdown. There were a lot of different things I could point to in this one. There was an offsides that Clovis East committed on 4th and 5. Central was going to punt the ball early in the second half. Went offsides. First down, automatic first down. Jelani Dipple. How about this kid, the sophomore quarterback for Central? The game was not too big for him. Now, what Central did in the playoffs, they avenged their only 2 losses during the regular season. The week before, they beat Clovis North on the road 27-10. That was a loss to open up track. And then obviously last night's win avenged an earlier loss to Clovis East on a Thursday. And the game, let's be honest, the game was a little bit too big at moments for Dipple in those two losses, but not last night. The dude made play. They converted a 3rd and 19 touchdown pass. Dipple to Bayon Harris, who's a sophomore, number 18, already has an offer from Colorado State. 3rd and 19, threw it up, one-on-one coverage, beat his man, turned around, jumped up, caught the football, touchdown. And then one of the greatest catches I have seen in playoff history. 4th and 11 from about the 20-yard line. Dipple to Bayon Scott. Bayon Scott made a catch, and when you're doing the radio, you only get one shot to see the play. And I went back and watched the play, and it is a phenomenal catch. Dipple threaded it in between 2 guys, went up and caught it, was hit, and was basically parallel with the ground, came down and held onto the football for a touchdown. Incredible, incredible catch by that kid. It was remarkable. Late in the game, Clovis East did score their lone touchdown. And then, boom, the hammer. Brandon Smith, stud running back, has an offer from Fresno State, number 2. I think there was an injury, so there was a timeout. So they had Coach Biggs and staff had time to discuss the play. They've been running Smith up the middle all game, decided to run him off left tackle. Boom, breaks outside, 65-yard touchdown run, game over. Devastating, devastating loss, to say the least, for Clovis East. Their perfect season comes to an end. Just like that, boom, season's over. And you guys know, high school sports, sports in general, high school sports can absolutely rip your heart out. Rip your heart out. So obviously we are in the press box broadcasting the game. Teams meet in the middle. There's some celebration, right? There's some celebration. Central to the right, celebrating Central Section Championship. to the left. Clovis East devastated. Players on the ground, on one knee, consoling each other, a state of absolute shock that Central was able to come to LaMonica Stadium and win that football game. Oh, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. We saw that on full display last night. Congrats to Central for winning their fourth Central Section title in school history, their first since 2019 when they won state. What an absolute run. And we're going to be talking with Coach Kyle Biggs after the break. He's coming on the show. That guy promised me. He was on earlier, before the season starts. Came into First String Sports. And been trying to get him on the show again. Hey, just give me a 10-minute phone call. And he texted me back. He's like, after we win a Central Section title, after we win a Valley Championship, Paul, I'll come on. So he is a man of his word. We're going to hear straight from him after the break. Excited to talk to Coach Kyle Biggs. Again, congratulations to the Central Grizzlies for winning a title. All right, at the top of hour number two, got Gabe Camarillo coming on, friend of the show. He was my partner in crime on 1430 ESPN, broadcasted some games together. He produced my show. Talk a lot about high school sports. He worked for Fox 26, sportscaster for them. He was at the Visalia game. CVC and Golden West. I'm going to get to that one in a second. So Gabe and I will be breaking down the games he saw and the championship games next week in divisions 2 through 6. Always look forward to talk to Gabe. And then after that, we got Gerald Perucci. He is the head coach at Shafter. His Generals defeated Emmanuel. They're the top seed in Division 4, 31-22. They're going to be facing number 3, Kalinga, in the D4 championship. So that's a little rundown of the rest of the show, going all the way up to 12 o'clock. Before I get into the scores, a little bit of a breakdown. Congratulations to the Emmanuel Eagles girls volleyball team. They won the state title yesterday. State championships were yesterday and today. Centennial, Bakersfield, and CVC are playing today. But they won in straight sets, Division 4, three games to nothing. And get this, this is a very improbable run. They had 21 losses on the year. I think they ended up with 27 wins. 21 losses. But the girls win a state title. They're playing their best volleyball at the right time. All right, so let's get into some scores here before I go on too long. As you guys know, Division I was broken up into two brackets, the Division I AA, last night's game, and Division 1A. That game was won by Frontier, the 3 seed, defeated number 1, Bakersfield. Friend of the show, Trevor Horn, did a great job on Twitter keeping us updated on that game. It was a 31-0 game at one point. It finished 31-Bakersfield got a late touchdown, 31-14. So the number 1 seed Drillers go down. Frontier, the Battle of Bakersfield, they are the D1 single A Central Section champs. Congrats to them. And I did mention Central Valley Christian and Golden West, that game. So the Cavs, that game was tight early. I think it was 7-7 at halftime. Cavaliers 28, Golden West 7. So how about Donnie Arax? The job that he's done in his first year, taking over for Mason Hughes, coming off a D2 championship, a state championship, and they're in the final. And who are they going to face? Well, Bakersfield Christian and the Carr brothers defeated Sunnyside at home. That's a 1-5, 29-14. It was a 14-7 game for a long time, but that Eagles defense stepped up in the second half. Sunnyside season comes to an end. So our final is set next Friday. Number 1 Bakersfield Christian against number 3 Central Valley Christian. And how about Division 3? I think they were the games of the night last night as far as comebacks, intensity, drama, all the things that make high school sports great. All right, so Porterville, top seed, facing Kerman. Kerman last week won 35-34 at Justin Garza on the road. So facing another top seed, or a higher seed, I should say, in Porterville. They only had 1 loss on the year. We're following that game on Max Preps. It's tied, right? 21-21 for a long time, and then it's 24-24, and they go into overtime, and those Lions did it. Stopped them on the on their possession and decided to kick a field goal for the win. Does Coach Damon Jenkins and Andy Hernandez put it through and true, and Kerman advances. They are headed to the championship game against Madera. Marty Bitter, who is director of athletics for Madera Unified, was here at First String Sports. He's a great guy, and he was obviously at the games picking up a Letterman's jacket for his son. And he said it was the best high school game he's ever seen in his life. For him to say that, all right, this isn't ageism. He's seen a lot of football games. But for him to say that says a lot about the football game. Kenny Palinelli and his crew wins 56-49 in regulation. All right, I can't go over all the drama that I heard from Marty because it took about 5 minutes. But Madera scored on a 65-yard touchdown with under a minute left to play where the DB fell down. Just one of those wild games. DB falls down, boom, wide open, 65 yards. Kennedy actually had a chance to win that football game. There was a pass that was thrown in the back of the end zone and was caught, but he was out. And Madera holds on. Madera Kerman for the D3 championship. 1430 ESPN, we are going to broadcast that game. We announced it last night. Boom, confirmed, doing it, going to Madtown. Great matchup. Fantastic matchup. You better believe both towns are going to go be watching that football game. Madera is 0-6 in school history in Central Section title games. They have never won a title in football. In fact, they've never hosted because the stadium, when they were in championship games, wasn't ready. You have to accommodate a certain amount of people, and they weren't able to back in the day. But next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, they're going to be able to accommodate tons of people. I expect a full house last night. They're renovating the stadium. This is like it. This is it for a couple years there. Huge game. How about Jacob Arellano? One of the great games in playoff history. 551 passing yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. Are you kidding me? And how about this? He kicked 8 extra points. 8 extra points, threw for 551. Remarkable. What a dude. What a dude. Can't wait to call that game. All right, Division 4. Let's move on here. I mentioned that Shafter is in the finals. They defeated Emmanuel 31-22. They're going to be facing Kalinga. Kalinga is absolutely rolling. 49-0 over Roosevelt. So Roosevelt's season comes to an end, a magical run for that 15 seed. Kalinga's playing really good football. That is an excellent matchup, Shafter against Kalinga. All right, in divisions, click here on Division 5 before we take a break and hear from Coach Kyle Biggs. Morro Bay with an upset at Bishop Union, 28-20. That was a 4-1. And how about them Bears, the Selma Bears, 14, the Llano 6. So we got a Selma and Morro Bay. They got to go on the road. So the Coast is hosting a championship game in Division 5. Congrats to Selma. You know, a couple years ago, they were down in the dumps, but they are in a championship game. So good job by Selma and their program there. In Division 6, we got another upset. Miramonte defeated number 1 Minarets. So Minarets' season comes to an end, 24-22. Kicked a field goal at with final seconds to advance. And they're going to be facing Lindsay, the 3-seed defeat of Corcoran, 42-2. Lindsay goes on the road. So great win. So we got Lindsay and Miramonte in Division 6. All right, so there is a little bit of a breakdown as much as possible for last night's game and setting up next week's championship games in Divisions 2 through 6. Gabe Camarillo is going to be coming on at the top of the hour, and we're going to be breaking those down even more. And, of course, I got an update from my guy Kenny Palinelli. So, as I said, the information is coming fast and furious the last 12 hours or so. He said 8 total touchdowns for Joel Arellano. So I think I said Jacob. And the DB didn't slip, so the receiver cooked the guy. All right, so that's a better visual of a 65-yard touchdown where the receiver just absolutely cooks a DB from Kennedy. So, again, congratulations to all the teams that made it that far. The thrill of victory and agony of defeat was on full display last night. I expect phenomenal games on Friday. Can't wait to call those ones. All right, we're going to be talking with Coach Kyle Biggs. His Grizzlies defeated Clovis East last night, ruined their perfect 12-0 undefeated season in an epic game. There's his fourth Central Section title. Can't wait to hear from Coach Biggs. That will be up next on 1430 ESPN.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. All right, what a great night of high school football last night. And that's just the beginning of championship weekends. So next week we got divisions 2 through 6 finals the day after Thanksgiving. But last night we had a great one, an epic one on 1430 ESPN, played at Tim Simons Field at Daryl LaMonica Stadium. Central and Clovis East. Central, the 3 seed, defeats Clovis East 33-24, the fourth Central Section title for Central. Starting in 2017 when they won 3 in a row, including that state title in 2019. And it's all been directed by Coach Kyle Biggs, friend of the show. Just an incredible job last night. We were able to break it down as best we could in the opener. But, Coach, you're an absolute man of your word. You said next time you were coming on the show, you were going to be doing it after you won a D1 Central Section title. So here you are. How are you feeling this morning, my friend?
Good. It's setting in that, you know, we accomplished something that that it took a lot of hard work to get to, and it's just starting to enjoy it right now.
So we're gonna. I want to break down that game in just a second. Talk about some of the big plays in that one. But like, I mean, how did you guys do it? Right? I mean, things were stacked against you guys, so to speak. Clovis East 12-0, the top seed. They beat you earlier in the season. I mean, what was the game plan and the execution and all that stuff that went into that victory? How did you guys do it?
I mean, honestly, the last 2 weeks, the mantra to our kids has just been believe in yourselves. I didn't think the first two times we played North and East, I think we had a little doubt that, you know, we belonged on the field with them. And then as the game went on, we kind of realized, oh, you know what, we can play with these guys. But that realization didn't come until, you know, the third or fourth quarter. Whereas the last 2 weeks, you know, into the game believing that we could win the game, and it showed from the opening kickoff to the end of the game.
So let's go back to that game on October 10th against Clovis East, the 34-26 loss. Again, you've said it. You were just a couple plays away from not only tying that game, but possibly winning that one. What was different in prep? You talked about the belief in the team, right, that they belonged on the same field as those guys. But how about the preparation, the mental preparation going into this one? How was it different than going into that one back in October?
You kind of don't know who they are yet because, you know, they played a few, you know, really solid teams in non-league like Grant and the team from Utah. And then they have some Kingsburg and Sanger and Lemoore who, you know, they could kind of probably do whatever they wanted to do on defense and be successful in those games. So we didn't really know what kind of look we were going to get. And they came out in man-to-man, and we didn't expect that. And we struggled a little bit, couldn't get any easy throws. And we struggled offensively probably until the middle of the third quarter. And then at the end of the third quarter, much like the Clovis North game, we finally got on a roll and we scored on 3 of our last 4 possessions. And I think that mindset really helped us going into the Clovis North game, knowing, hey, if we just do our job and do what we're supposed to do, we can go down the field and score. We just got to finish drives. And that was our mindset. We knew we were going to be able to move the football. We just knew once we get in the red zone, we had to finish drives with points. Our special teams game is probably the worst in the Valley. We struggle with the kicking PATs. So my mindset, I wasn't going to kick a field goal, so we had to score touchdowns. And, you know, when you get stops in the red zone, that's a huge momentum builder, and we didn't want to give them that. So we wanted to make sure we were finishing drives, and that has been our focus offensively all week. And then defensively, we just felt if we took away the big play and made them earn it, that they would get frustrated and they would, you know, they're a big play team. They like explosive plays. And we just wanted to take away what they like and make them do what they don't like to do, and that's grind it out. And you could tell they were a little, I don't want to say confused, but they were a little, you know, miscombobulated. They weren't their normal selves. They weren't in a rhythm because they weren't getting those big plays. And I think it affected them offensively.
Well, they started off the opening drive. I think it was five plays, and they had scored a touchdown. And then you guys fumbled, and you talked about that being one of the keys to the game, not only stop the explosive plays, which you guys did for the most part, but take care of the football. You guys fumbled at the around the 50-yard line. And Clovis East got down first and goal from the 5-yard line, up 7-0 about midway through the first quarter. And I thought that was one of the many keys to that game. You guys held them to a field goal. First and five, they probably scored, you know, on 95% of those opportunities, a couple procedural penalties. But you guys were stout defensively, did a great job. Did you feel like, you know, even though you got down 10-0 early, like, hey, that was kind of a win for us?
Yeah, when we got that, when we got, we forced the field goal, we knew we had we knew we had to do something offensively, you know, get us in the game. We had to figure it out. They came out in a defense they hadn't shown all year long. And, you know, our kids, there's certain rules on certain plays, and that defense kind of broke some of those rules. So it took, you know, it took that second drive, and we figured it out. We were able to march down the field and get that touchdown. And that kind of set the tone. You know, Zeb made a huge play. We got the matchup we wanted. We were able to dictate, you know, by formation to get what we wanted. We got exactly what we wanted, made a big play. And then once we scored that touchdown, I knew we were going to come back. It started out rough. Probably couldn't start any rougher, right? Give up a touchdown in five plays and then fumble. And then the defense settled in and they forced that field goal. Our defense has been tremendous in the red zone all year long. It was going to be tough to run the ball on us. As long as we're fitting up right and doing our job, we knew they were going to have a tough time running the ball.
Yeah, Tamel Horton, you guys stymied him, the running back. He had come in his last four games with over 600 rushing yards. I believe he only ended up with 51 on 17 carries last night. So the defense definitely came to play. I talked about this in the opener. So many key plays in last night's game that we can point to. What is one play that is sticking out in your mind when you think, man, that was an incredible play in a D1 championship game? One of those touchdown catches that stands out to you right now?
Offensively, the third and goal from the 20, the fade to Bayon on their sideline, I thought was a tremendous ball. I've been telling Jelani all year long, you don't have to be perfect. Just give our guys a chance. They're tremendous athletes. They'll make us look really good. Just give them a chance. And Bayon went up and snagged that thing. The touchdown catch by Daylon Scott on fourth down, I thought was tremendous. Man, he showed a ton of heart and a ton of courage going up in there and going high and taking a shot and still coming down with it. But really, the one play that really stands out is after they scored to make it 24-27, there was about 4 minutes left in the game, and we were going to try to, you know, run the clock and get a couple first downs and try to milk it. And we had a second and long on first and 10. We didn't get anything, and Jelani bought a little bit of time and made a scramble and picked up a first down that would have prevented us from being in a third and long situation. And, you know, if we're in a third and long in that situation, who knows what happens and who knows, you know, how that game could flip, because the momentum probably flips back to their side. But as soon as Jelani picked that first down up, two plays later, Brandon popped the 65-yarder and was game, set, match.
Yeah, that was game over at that point. Talking with Coach Kyle Biggs, his Central Grizzlies won their fourth title in school history last night, defeating Clovis East. All right, so let's talk about your quarterback. And it's not very often that a sophomore quarterback wins a D1 Central Section title. The dude made plays all night, especially in that second half. Ended up with 214 passing yards and two touchdowns, and rushed for 43, including that really important play you just broke down. I mean, What can you say about the kid? What impressed you about his performance last night, especially in the second half?
He's just a tough kid, man. He's got a ton of heart, and you know, he's just a tough, mentally tough, physically tough. He took some shots last night, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's been taking shots all year long, and he hasn't missed one snap. I joke around and say he's got Gumby bones, man. He just pops up, and like nothing phases the kid. And that's truly a trait that, you know, is phenomenal for a quarterback, because, you know, he can one play, he could throw a would-be interception. On the next play, he steps up in the pocket and drops a dime for a touchdown. He's fearless. And the strides he made this year were tremendous. He grew tremendously as not only a quarterback, but as a leader. And I'm tough on him. I'm hard on my guys. I'm hard on especially my quarterback, because of the pressure situations, you know, we're going to be in. And, I mean, I try to make practice hard so the games are easy. And I think last night, once he got in his groove, he made it easy. And I was really proud of him.
He made plays all over the field. Those two touchdown throws that he made were fearless, right? Especially that one to Scott, right? Can you describe from your perspective? Because, again, I was able to watch that touchdown catch on replay last night. It's one of the great catches that I've seen. I retweeted. I said, man, as far as a clutch catch in that moment, coming down with the football, that's as good as it gets. What I mean, can you talk about that play? Because I think it was 4th and 11, if I'm not mistaken. And against Clovis North, you guys kind of were in the same situation. You guys got a touchdown catch in that one. So kind of walk us through that play call, and what you saw on the field.
Well, I mean, that it was 4th and 14 from the 21, and Jelani screwed up the play before because we ran a draw play, and he took a 3-step drop, and he knows he's not supposed to do that. And so the 44 kid, who was just an absolute menace for Clovis East, that kid's a stud, Nelson, he stuffed that out and, you know, got the sack. And so now it's 4th and 14, and we had saw something the first time we played them inside the red zone, what they like to do coverage-wise. So we knew if we got in the situation that we were in, that this was a play we wanted to run. And I just felt this was the perfect time to run it. They don't like to blitz on 4th down. They play coverage down there. And we got the coverage we wanted. We got the coverage we thought we were going to get. Jelani did a great job stepping up. The O-line did a great job protecting them. Dalen ran a great route. How many times we've ran this route in practice will amaze you. And he could never quite get it right. And he ran it perfect last night. And just the courage he showed to go up and get it, the courage Jelani showed on making that throw, stepping up in the pocket, that's just a big-time championship type of play.
Absolutely. And I love how you say, yeah, I'm hard on my quarterbacks, and you talk about how he screwed up on the – Dipple screwed up on the play before that. That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about another dude and his performance last night. You got a number two out there that – offensively and defensively, he stood out. Brandon Smith, he had one of the great all-around games in recent memory in a championship game. Ended up with 144 rushing yards, that clincher that you mentioned, that 65-yard run. You know, what can you say about that guy and what he brings to the table? He's just a dude. He knows he doesn't dance around in the backfield. He gets the football, puts his head down, finds the hole. He broke away on that last one, off the left tackle. He's got speed, breakaway. He just does it all, and his instincts are off the chart too.
Now, first off, he's such a great kid. He's such a humble kid. He's one of the hardest workers on the team. He just, you know, he's a dude, man. He's the best player in the Valley. I'm gonna be biased. But even as a junior, I don't think there's anyone better than him and does more than what he does for our team. He's just phenomenal. He didn't come off the field defensively. He didn't come off the field. He came off for, you know, maybe like 10 plays offensively. I probably didn't do a good enough job of trying to get him the ball more in the passing game. But he's dynamic, man. He runs great routes. He has great hands. He runs hard. He pass blocks. He'll do whatever we ask him to do. Just the consummate team kid. Who just wants to win. That he doesn't care how it gets done. He just wants to win.
Who are some other dudes that we haven't mentioned that you'd love to give shout-outs, right? The offensive line never gets credit in games like this, but are there some other guys that, you know, now you think about the game and replay it in your head, maybe you and your staff talked about, man, that dude really stepped up. But so are there some other names out there?
I mean, Aiden Chavez, our middle linebacker, and Juan Ochoa, our two inside guys, they were phenomenal at stopping the run. Our D-line was, you know, Julian Amosa, Jeff Amosa, the twins. They were creating havoc. Jose Aguilar, he was doing a great job of keeping his gap controlled, making them bounce it. And, you know, they're bouncing it. Like, they don't get a lot of tackles, but they're doing their job, and it's leading to other guys getting a tackle. And, you know, one of those key moments you talked about or you asked about earlier was they had a third and two, and they went empty, and they ran key counter, which they ran earlier in the game, and Miller got, like, 15 yards on it. And this time – Aiden Chavez and Bayon Harris met him in the backfield for a 2 yard on third and short. And then they went for it on fourth down and got stuffed. And then that's the drive where we hit Dalen for the touchdown to get the 2-score lead. And I think that really pulled, you know, I don't want to say put the game away, but that put the pressure on them that they have to do something now. And I think that put a little fear in them. And, you know, they've been a very good football team all year long. They've never been in that situation before. Whereas us, on the other hand, you know, we were down 10-0 at the beginning of the game. We've been down before, and our kids are just – they're resilient, man. So just everything we've been through this year as a team, for our kids to show that much character, to fight back and claw back and win that football game, you know, it's – you know, even our scout guys in practice all week long, the kids we called up from JV, like, everyone contributed. It was a true, you know, team win. I know it's a cliche to say that, but – you know, it took everybody, and we needed everybody, and I couldn't be more proud of those guys.
And the celebration last night, just how sweet was that moment? I want to get into La Monica Stadium and your time there as a player and growing up on that field in just a second. But, like, what was, like, some of the things that the kids say, or you and your coaching staff, did you, like, look at each other and, like, hug each other, like, guys, we did it, we executed the plan? Or what were some of those special moments that you had with either your staff or your team?
I like everything we went through this year. I couldn't believe we get to practice next week. You know, we won a championship with a bunch of sophomores, a ton of sophomores, a ton of young kids. And that, you know, it's crazy that, you know, during summer 7-on-7, if we knew we had a chance to be here, but, you know, you never know. And you know how good other teams are, and just how far we've come from the summer until now. Just enjoyed the process and enjoyed, you know, the moment with the team and with the coaches. You know, my coaching staff, I got to give a shout out to those guys. They're amazing. They do a great job. Our defense staff, they got to put up with me going for it on fourth down. I think I drive them crazy. But, you know, they do a tremendous job. I can't say enough good things about them. And our offensive staff, you know, we're one mind at this point, where we're all always thinking the same thing or on the same page. So, yeah, I, without a doubt, I think I have the best staff in the Valley. You know, and we've been consistent, and not a lot of changes on that staff throughout, you know, my tenure at Central.
So 7 out of the last 8 years, Central has been in the championship game. They won another one last night, the fourth in school history, the fourth for Kyle Biggs, who we're talking to. We got another, about another 5 minutes talking with Coach. Again, thank you for your time. I know this is a special time, waking up on a Saturday after winning a Central Section Championship. I want to go back a little bit, Coach, if you will. And, you know, I love competition, but I also love sportsmanship and giving props to other players. And I did see you mentioned number 44 for Clovis East, Jack Nelson. I saw you go up to him and you know, you found him and you said something to him, pat him on the head. You know, you respect players that play hard, play the game the right way. Ty Miller, on the other hand, man, the kid never missed a football game. You mentioned Jelani took every snap this year for your ball team at quarterback. Ty Miller on the other side, 4-year starter. I think you probably played, what does it make sense, five times in your career. But what can you say about, like, that kid and the heart that he shows? And, man, that dude is a baller, isn't he?
He is, man. I remember watching him last year in one of the games, and I'm like, man, I don't think he can make all the throws. And this, with some of the stuff they did, I thought we could you know, be able to take advantage of it. And then I went to watch him, scout him for Clovis West. And I was just like, holy crap, man, this kid made every throw imaginable. And when it's not there, he's able to go get yards. He's tough. He's fearless. You can tell he's a leader of that team, and they all follow his lead. I'm really happy to be a senior, and we don't play him again. He's a ball player. I mean, through and through, quarterback. He's a tough kid. He runs the ball hard. He has great touch, great precision, great knowledge. You know, he knows where to go with the ball, when to go with it, what he's going to do. If, you know, it's not there or if it's ugly. So just a ton of respect for what he did. And, you know, I think I heard it was his 45th start.
Coach, I think we lost you for a second. You still there, Kyle?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're just talking about his 45th start, talking about Ty Miller, Clovis East quarterback.
Yeah, you know, 40, that's pretty amazing. That's an amazing attribute, amazing stat. I mean, 45 starts in high school football. I mean, you figure 10 games a year, that's 40. And, you know, for him to play that many, that means he's – I mean, I know he started a whole bunch as a freshman. Yeah, the kid, he's a stud. I'm glad to see him go.
Yeah, here. He is a really good football player. All right, so – one of the reasons why you're so hard on your quarterbacks and you can respect quarterbacks is because you were one and you won that Central Section title for Clovis High in 97. So remind me, so your championship game, was at Bakersfield, right, when you beat the Drillers? It wasn't at LaMonica?
It was at Bakersfield College.
And you had lost the year before on Clovis High's field, right, at LaMonica?
Yeah, we lost my junior. We lost to Redwood in LaMonica.
So last night, or even maybe the week leading up to last night's game, like there's some flashbacks. Like, do you have any memories that pop to your mind? Like, man, I want to win a Central Section title on this field. Like, do you have any thoughts like that?
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, the last play I played in a game at LaMonica. You know, I missed a receiver on a fourth and goal versus Clovis West, and we lost the game by 7. And, you know, that was the last time I got to play there. So every time I go there, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times I've hopped that fence with me and my friends and played turkey bowls and, you know, sandlot football on that field. I mean, it's over 100 times. So that's, you know, that's my home stadium. Like, that's the stadium I grew up in. I was the ball boy ever since I was in, you know, sixth grade over there, and just a ton of memories. So, yeah, it was pretty cool to win a Valley Championship there.
All right, so I got to ask you this, and I know each one is very special. So maybe you know, the added, you know, nostalgia that you just talked about winning at LaMonica, but – you know, I mean, just how sweet was it with this team, with the adversity that you mentioned during the year, with such a young football team? I mean, how do you just kind of quantify it? And how do you? I don't want to have you rank this title with the other three. However, just like how cool of a moment and special it is. Like, when is it going to really, really hit you? You think?
The thing I'll say about it is, you know, the first three we won, I think every year we were kind of expected to win. So that's a different type of pressure. And this year we weren't expected to win. We probably weren't even expected to be in it. And the fact that we had to go through so much to get it makes this one pretty sweet. And the fact that we had to go through the two teams we lost to avenge both those losses to get it makes it even sweeter.
Yeah, the two losses were to North and East, and you beat them both in back-to-back playoff games. All right, couple more questions here. One, a pretty fun one. So thoughts on State. You mentioned a bye week, which is kind of weird. You said that on the news last night. So a bye week, and then State, is it you expect to go in Division 1A and maybe up north and maybe St. Ignatius? Is that what you're thinking, or you don't have an idea?
That's what I'm hearing. I'm here in St. Ignatius. They beat St. Francis last night, 10-7.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we'll be, and whether, you know, what the CIF gods do, You know, last year they put Clovis North on the road. I know if Clovis North would have been, you know, champions again, they would have got a home game for sure, being it's the same team. I don't know if they're doing it by section or what, but I know all those Clovis folks are going to be pretty upset if we get a home game in the state playoff.
Well, I don't want to speak for sure on the record, but I'm like 95% sure you guys are going to get a home game in the state playoffs, because they alternate the top division, which is you guys. And since Clovis North went on the road from the central section last year, I expect you guys to get a home game. So that's my understanding. Again, I don't want to say for sure, but that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
All right, cool. All right, last question here for you, Kyle. Again, thanks for taking like 20 more minutes to share your thoughts on last night and the season as a whole. All right, Thanksgiving weekend. I think I asked you this last year about food, right? So what's like your absolute go-to for Thanksgiving, and who are you going to celebrate? Like, you're a pie guy, you got to get your mashed potatoes in, or what do you got?
Yeah, I'm a huge pie guy. I don't like cake. But mashed potatoes and gravy for sure. We actually go to through Eugene Mitchell. He does our turkey. A deep fry, oh my God, it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, we're buying two this year. They're so good. It's just, I can't. I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. That turkey, some mac and cheese, a little bit of stuffing, and a lot of mashed potatoes and gravy. That's for sure.
All right, good call. And it's gonna probably taste extra good after winning a Central Section title, right? I mean, it's gonna be like extra sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird, because usually, you know, that's Valley Championship week, so you got practice that morning. And now it's like we won a championship, but now we have the week off. So, you know, I'm not going to have the kids practice on Thanksgiving if we don't have to. So, you know, we'll have a day off, and you know, hopefully, I don't know who the games are. Hopefully the Packers are playing. I can watch my pack, get a win.
Absolutely. All right. Congratulations again, Coach Big. Your Grizzlies are Division I, AA section champs. Thanks again, as always. You respond to my texts and my phone calls, and I always appreciate you. And that was a sweet win last night. Go ahead and enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
You bet. All right, Coach Kyle Biggs. Got another one. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Never doubt those Grizzlies, and they're going to be back for more. They are loaded at the lower levels. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to return a little after 11 o'clock, and Gabe Camarillo is coming on. We're going to be talking more high school football, tons more to talk about. You're listening to it all on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader.
In a world where high school sports don't exist.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. And in all my excitement to bring you guys the news from last night's game, commentary at all. I forgot our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. It was sprinkling. I don't think it is anymore. I think the rest of the day there's rain is not in the forecast. Currently 59 degrees in Fresno, California. I think kickoff is at 7:30 tonight for Fresno State. It's going to be around 56 degrees. So bundle up with care. But I'm glad, at least as a spectator, that there's not going to be any rain. Go out to the game, guys. Go check that out. Let's go, Bulldogs. Come on. Beat those Colorado States, man. Let's go. We need to win here. I got Gabe Camarillo with me live here at First String Sports, sportscaster on Fox 26. It does a phenomenal job. He and I called many games together. We've been on air many times talking about high school sports and Fresno State stuff. So first of all, Gabe, thanks for coming on and making the drive here. We're going to have a great conversation. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I feel honored. This is your biggest show of the year because it is high school football championship weekend. Although it is kind of weird. I agree with Biggs. It is kind of weird not to have them all on the same day. But
well, there's that. And then, right, we're used to, you know, our internal clocks, right? You're used to the day after Thanksgiving as all the championship games are played. But we are able, you know, us media guys were able to check out, you know, the game last night. I know you were at some other games we're going to be talking about. But next week are the championship games. We're going to preview that as well.
Yeah, and you know what? You are right in that sense that it is good for the Divisions 2 through 6 title games because a lot of focus will be put on them with the Division 1 AA out of the way. We'll be able to get in depth this week talking about Kerman versus Madera, Damon Jenkins versus Palinelli. D4, an even better matchup almost, you could say, because Kalinga's undefeated, and they go up against the Shafter Generals that won the championship 2 years ago. Could have won it last year if not for a controversial.
It is very controversial, Gabe. I mentioned it last night.
Official
yeah.
call? So, yeah, yes. I mean, I don't want to bring it up again, but that's why Shafter's playing for. Kalinga's playing for the chance to win a championship finally after getting so close the last 2 years. Yeah, there's so many good games to talk about next weekend, but there was also a pretty good one last night.
No, there was. And thanks again to Kyle Biggs for coming on that Saturday morning after winning a championship. That's always a special time. So thanks to Coach Kyle Biggs. And, well, maybe if we got some time, Gabe, at the end, talk about Fresno State. But I got this interesting email. And just go with me on this. I got an interesting email on Monday. I think a lot of people out there listening know about the website called LinkedIn. And it's a website where you put your resume and you put all your jobs and what you've done and a little bit about yourself. And I think through that, they sell your information to other companies and whatever. Sometimes you get these weird emails, you know, from LinkedIn, you might be interested in this job. So I got this email, Gabe, from the McCarthy Search. All right. I've never heard of these guys before. Got this email. It actually went to my junk folder, but it popped up on my phone. And this is what the email said, verbatim, word for word. It said, "Hi, Paul. Okay. I came across your profile and believe we have an opportunity that matches your experience. Here are some key details about the role. Head football coach, California State University, Fresno. Location, Fresno, California. If this sounds like something you'd like to explore, you can view more details, get a customized resume for the position, and apply here. Full job details. There's a link. Best regards, McCarthy Search. P.S. Here are two other jobs you might be interested in. Multimedia journalist, Fresno, California. Sports sales manager, Fresno, California." Gabe, I literally got an email from some fun guy named McCarthy Search that said I should apply for the Fresno State football job. So I posted that on social media. Everyone was making fun of me, giving me grief. Like, "Hey, man, they must have heard about your, you know, your eight-man flag football plays that you put together at, you know, at Traver University."
Sounds
there.
Like they're doing a pretty wide search there for Fresno State's job. I think Tim Skippers might still have a chance to win it, though. I mean, there's still two games to win, and there's still a bowl game to possibly play in. So tonight's a huge game, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
for his chances to be a head coach.
I agree. Skips definitely has the inside track on, you know, the Traver, you know, eighth grade flag football coach. But apparently the McCarthy Search people, you know, my name came up and they said I should apply. So
when you texted
it
me
is
that,
what
I,
it is.
When you texted me that, I literally laughed out loud.
It is.
It was funny how their bots work, you know, the robots, the computers that send those automated emails. They're like, "You know what? You have sports in your resume. You're a head football coach."
And this makes it even more hilarious. Here's another email that popped up this morning. So other hot job picks. I know we want to talk about high school football, obviously, but other job picks by the McCarthy Search. Training and development specialist, journeyman, security clearance require. In Lemoore. So I don't know if they want me to work on the base there at Lemoore. I scroll down a little bit. There's like eight different ones. Hostess at Denny's Restaurant, Fresno, California.
It's a good thing you love your day job. You don't have to be looking for jobs like this.
Sports director, corporate banking, or senior director. I mean, just so random. So I thought that was hilarious that, you know, Fresno State football opportunity. I don't even have my master's degree.
I don't even know what sports has to do with being a Denny's host.
Exactly. So random.
What is this? I don't know.
Corporate planning in Madera. All right. All right, so let's talk about the football game. All right, so last night, on your surprise scale from 1 to 10, how surprised were you that Central beat Clovis East and ruined their perfect season?
I'm surprised but not surprised, if that makes
sense. Like a 6, a 5?
5. probably five, because Clovis East dominated everybody they played except Central. And I think we should have kept that in mind going in, that the game against Central was more Central's mistakes than Clovis East's strengths. Look at how that game the first time around went. There was a holding call that took away a touchdown. There was a backwards pass that was a fumble that ended up leading to a Clovis East score. So 34-26, but two plays right there switched the outcome if both are different. And then not only that, but look at how Central played against Clovis North last week and how dominant the defense was. I know that they didn't have Jackson Sinfield at full strength, and they didn't have a quarterback like Mario Cosma last year, but they still had McKay Mattson, who you and I both said a couple weeks ago should be track MVP, and that wasn't enough for Clovis North to come back to the Division I championship game. So Central beating Clovis North by 17 last week should have been a warning sign that Clovis East was in trouble. I got to tell you, man, we talked all year about Clovis North, Clovis East, Clovis North, Clovis East. The first time they played, there's going to be a rematch. You know who Central beat? Clovis North and Clovis East.
Did
so,
you?
I mean, this is one of the more impressive runs that Kyle Biggs has had, because he didn't have Xavier Worthy. He didn't have Jeremiah Hunter. He didn't have Quali Conley. He didn't have future Division I college talent. I mean, he could actually with Brandon Smith, the junior running back.
Yeah, Smith and number 18, too. Those guys are
Bayon Harris
D1
is
dudes.
Legit. I think we'll see Bayon Harris in 2 years, and we'll have a bunch to talk about with him and maybe a bunch of offers for him as well. And Jelani Dipple, man, for a sophomore quarterback, the amount of clutch situations he came through in, I think it's because they were young, Paul. We're talking about a bunch of underclassmen, juniors and sophomores, but they all stepped up, and that's why they won, because those guys were ready for the bright lights, even when they hadn't experienced them, some of them, in years past. Clovis East had, so I think that's why we went with them, because they had the experience, they had the storyline, they almost beat Clovis North last year, they had the four-year starting quarterback, but Central was the better team last night, and it was obvious.
They were, and you think, if that game would have been played 10 times, right, last night's game 10 times, it'd probably be 5-5, but last night, right, that just, the ball, it didn't literally bounce their way, but there were so many plays, I felt, last night, that for Clovis North, through their 12 football games that they won. The East won. There were so many plays that didn't go their way that went in those other 12 games, meaning, you know, a kickoff return for a touchdown or a pick six. Seemed like that happened for Clovis East all season, and it didn't happen last night, right? They had an opportunity for a pick six to make it a 16-7 game or a 17, you know, pending the extra point, 7 game, and it slipped through a defender's fingers, right? And you just kind of hear the crowd go, ooh, right? I mean, that would have been a game changer. Go a 4th and 5. Central was going to punt the football. They go offsides. Automatic first down for Central. Those are the things, right, in a championship game that are just, right, they stand out. Those are the plays you need to make or not make in the case of that offsides. And Central took advantage of it.
There were a couple other small penalties that hurt Clovis East early in the game when they were already up 7-0. They got the long touchdown pass. They got the forced fumble at midfield. 42-yard pass to Daniel Booker. And I thought the sophomore corner, Jonte Della, made a game-saving tackle because Booker was about to break away from him, and Della brought him down at the 5. And then we saw 2 5-yard penalties, illegal formation and then another 5-yard penalty. I think that kind of took the wind out of Clovis East sails, because instead of first and goal from the 5, you're kicking a field goal. Instead of going up 14-0, you go up 10-0. And I think Biggs just said that was huge for Central in terms of confidence, looking at a 10-0 deficit and knowing that's a lot easier to overcome than a 2-touchdown deficit.
And Biggs mentioned they believe, right?
Yeah.
Young team, that they lost to North and East during a track play, the regular season, and in playoffs, right? Belief is such a huge thing, Gabe, in high school sports, especially. If you believe you can do it, the coaches, you know, preach that during the week, the players buy in. That's the recipe for, you know, a quote-unquote upset.
And Central had a great set of receivers. Getting Zeb White back was huge, because White made a really big catch in the second quarter, 43-yard off play action. That set up Smith's first touchdown run, made it 10-7. They mentioned it on the FNR broadcast last night. That ball was overthrown, but Zeb White caught up to it and made the catch the 1-yard line. And Zeb White rocking the Guardian cap because he was coming back from a concussion. I mean, just a gritty dude. And Central's full of gritty dudes, guys who they overcame adversity. Like Big said, they were injured early on in the season. They took their lumps against North and East. I mean, how many times did Central have to watch that McKay Mattson pick six? That hurt them because they lost 2 winnable games to the perceived two best teams in the track, and I'm sure they're loving the fact that they beat those teams to win a Division I championship.
All right, one more question before we move on to some of the other games. Is this the start, Gabe, of another magical run for Central? You mentioned Clovis East and Clovis North both lose a lot. Clovis West has some nice pieces coming back. Clovis does too. Is this the start of another, you know, 3-4 year run for the Grizzlies?
You think so? Because Brandon Smith is coming back. Jelani Dipple's coming back. There's 12 sophomores that Big said starts that are coming back. And so looking at the rest of the track, East is going to lose a lot of talent with all the seniors graduating. North, same as well. Clovis seems like they have the most coming back. Clovis West is going to be a frisky pick because their sophomore quarterback, J.J. Howard, is going to get better. Well, freshman now becoming a sophomore. And so I think Central is the track favorite by far. Them and Clovis will be the favorites. And then you look around the rest of the section, I mean, Central beat Liberty twice this year. Does Liberty get significantly better? Frontier won a Division I-A championship. Do they parlay that into some future success in Division I AA? It seems like Central is primed to be the best team, and I think it's not close, except you see maybe Clovis be number two. They're going to be the best team going into the next season. They're going to be the favorite.
I agree. All right, so you were up late last night checking out the game, but you weren't at that game last night, right? You watched the game on TV. I'm sure you listened to our broadcast.
I did, actually, come back from Visalia. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you were in Visalia, and CVC, right? They did it. The Fighting Don Araxes.
They dominated that game because the final score was 28-7, but it was 7-0 at halftime, and CVC had the ball for about three-fourths of that first half. Just the Golden West offense, they were shut down by CVC's pass defense, and I've seen that pass defense before in different games against Washington Union. They are just bat down balls. They close down the receivers. They give quarterbacks nothing to do but scramble. And so I'm interested to see how that CVC pass defense does against a pretty good Bakersfield Christian quarterback in Lincoln Adame, who second year as a starter for Bakersfield Christian. That's going to be a fun matchup. BC's offense versus CVC's defense.
So you were impressed with Central Valley Christian's their ball control, their defense. What are they, physical?
Yeah.
They got some dudes, huh?
Yeah, well, Micah Payton is one. And then I wish I knew his name, number eight. He had so many big runs in the second quarter that got CVC in position to score. It was crazy because CVC got in the 10-yard line four times.
Wow.
They only scored one touchdown.
Saw that.
They got a fumble that they gave up. They got stopped twice on fourth down. Who's number eight, Paul?
So we got Eli Banuelos.
He has to be 6'3".
Oh, no, there's two guys. There's two guys. Josh Hilvers as well. Another sophomore. So they got two guys at number eight. So
probably Hilvers, I would say, because he was just a big dude, 6'2", 6'3". And I was joking with another sports anchor there, Angelique Martinez from KC24. I was like, where was this guy at in the first quarter? He's so big, he could break any tackle that they try to make on him. This was a good year for Golden West. I don't want to take anything away from their season because they won three games last year, and they ended up winning 10 games this year. But CVC played a really tough schedule in the September month, right? They played Clovis. They played Clovis North. They played Bakersfield Christian. I think that prepared them for this game, going up against that higher caliber of opponent. And also, Don Arex, man. I mean, I've been to one of his practices this year. He does not take any minute off of practices. Goes full throttle, gets the most out of the kids. And that's why CBC lost Bryson Donaldson, lost Tyler Hughes, lost Noeski, lost so much senior talent, Brent Cruz.
Yeah.
And they're still in the championship game because, well, I think Arex has a lot to do with it. And also some of the returning guys, like Ryan Lewis, number five, good wide receiver. Gunnar Peepgrass as well, making plays as a receiver. And then Micah Payton, I have to say, he has been the engine that makes his offense go because that's what Arax loves to do. Inside run, that's his bread and butter. And Payton and anyone else that's running the ball, they seem to do it well.
And so that is lined up, Division II at Bakersfield Christian, Central Valley Christian. Those two teams, they're very familiar with each other as well. Darren Carr with his brother calling plays, David. So that's going to be a really good one. I'm very intrigued by that one. But how about that Bakersfield Christian defense, right? Sunnyside was winning that football game for a long time.
I got sent highlights from that game, and Sunnyside had a touchdown pass that gave them the lead, 14-10 at halftime. It was a long touchdown pass, kind of what we're used to seeing from Sunnyside. I didn't get any highlights in the second half of that. I think Bakersfield Christian made no highlights for Sunnyside. Good defense by them. That's going to be the key, I think, in the game. Which defense plays better? Could be one of those low-scoring 17-14 type games in the Division II championship.
I agree. All right, so let's go to Division III. This is an incredible matchup with a lot of Valley history. We got Kerman and Madera. It's a game that we're going to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. That is confirmed. All right, so Kerman, those Lions, they did it again. So first round, 42-20 over Mission Oak, who beat them in last year's D3 championship game. And then that great game last week against Justin Garza, a one-point win. They go to Porterville, the Fighting Damon Jenkins. Those guys just win football games, kick a field goal in overtime to win it. How about those Lions?
I got to tell you, there seems to be some magic with the Kerman Lions with Damon Jenkins, because last year they won on an 80-yard touchdown run as time expired. This year they win two playoff games by a combined 4 points, beat Garza by a point last week, and then I did catch the end of the Porterville-Kerman game on the NFHS Network, and Porterville has a good team, man. I've said it all year long. They have a complete squad. They've always had good defense. But with the emergence of Enriquez at quarterback, Porterville had an offense that can go toe-to-toe with anybody. It's just Kerman, I think, had that experience that they could lean on. And it laid on the leg of Eddie Hernandez from 35 yards, man. And, I mean, it's tough for a high school kicker in that situation. How many hours from home? How far is Kerman from Porterville? Two hours?
at least. I mean, a little over 2 hours probably.
He was clutch in that situation, and so it was another clutch win for the Kerman Lions in the playoffs. It seems like they've been a team of destiny, because they lost last year in a heartbreaker to Mission Oak.
Yeah.
And now here they are, again, having to go on the road, not nearly as far. I feel like has something to prove.
All right, so hour 30 from Kerman to Porterville. There you go, for all you fact-finding aficionados. Aiden Torres, I forgot he's a junior.
Yeah.
So the quarterback for Kerman, he's almost a 3,000-yard passer. Wow, 72% completion ratio. That guy is a dude. So, all right, so at the bottom of that, Madera, those guys keep winning football games. You know, they went toe-to-toe against Sanger in the C-MAC. They were a play away from tying that football game. What can you say about those Coyotes?
Well, we're looking at Bakersfield Christian this year. We've got to keep in mind there was a team that beat them last year in the playoffs, and it was Madera. And Madera was in Division II last year, and I feel like if they were put in D3, we could have seen this matchup last year. I mean, Madera was so good last year, and they weren't able to prove it in the right division. They were put up, I think, a division too high, in my opinion. Here they are in their right division, and you saw a great game against Kennedy, who won the Division III championship 2 years ago. Kennedy went up 13-0 on them, and Madera did not give up. They just put the throttle on Kennedy's defense. Kennedy's defense is usually pretty good, but this is the first time I've seen Madera put up 56 points on a defense like this. I am so impressed with Joel Arellano. I mean, you showed me the numbers before we got on the air. 551 passing yards?
Incredible. 8 touchdowns, 8 extra points.
I mean,
how about that? Kicked 8 extra points, this dude.
Kennedy's defense played great against Shafter. It's played great against teams all year long. And I guess we should have seen this from Madera, because the way they played against Sanger, the way they played against Sunnyside in the second half, I just feel like they play good against good teams, so that's why I'm not counting out against Kerman. Kerman's a really good team. We've talked about them. Their quarterback, their defense is a bit underrated. They held Porterville to 24 points. I would say this is going to come down to whether Madera's quarterback or Kerman's quarterback makes more big plays. You got two great quarterbacks here, Joel Arellano and Adrian Torres. But we saw last night, right? Jelani Tipple made the most big plays. He was 5 for 5 on the first 5 third downs. Made a 4th-and-14 completion, right?
Gosh.
Which quarterback in this matchup can make those kind of plays is going to determine who wins this matchup.
What do we want to set the over or under at? About 90?
No, because I think Madera's defense is pretty good. And so is Kerman's. Right. These are two complete teams.
All right.
And I think Kennedy scoring 49 points just says a lot about their running backs. Jace Damakablin, Jameson Membry. They also have a good quarterback, too, who's a sophomore. So we'll see more of the Kennedy Thunderbirds. Mario Mianis really built a good program there that's going to last for the next couple seasons.
So if you guys missed a couple fun facts about Madera, so they are They have never won a Central Section title in football. They are 0-6. This will be the first time a Central Section championship game is going to be hosted at Madera. All six of those losses were on the road. They had some opportunities to play at home. But the stadium at the time, and I don't know what years these were, but they were not deemed, I don't know what the word is. They're not deemed not appropriate. But the fans, right, to support the amount of fans,
yeah.
Right? So they had to build a berm. The stadium, you know, had some renovations, and it's going to be renovated even more. So this is like the last hurrah for Madera.
Well,
that stadium.
The stadium, exactly, because it's going to get renovated over the next offseason. And I think that makes this even more special. The fact that it's for a first Central Section title, and it's going to be in the historic Memorial Stadium. It's like playing a World Series in the old Yankee Stadium. It's like, you know, all the memories that stadium has, and it's going to be a fun matchup, like I said earlier, just two balanced teams that I feel like know each other pretty well, too. They played each other last year.
And two of our favorite coaches, man. We love talking to those guys. No-nonsense guys. All right, so Division 4, Shafter and Coalinga.
Yeah.
Coalinga undefeated. They are the 3 seed, right? Not too many undefeated teams are a 3 seed in a bracket. Shafter, we're going to talk to Coach Perucci after we talk with you, Gabe. Thoughts on that game?
Well, Coalinga has been here before, but they haven't done that yet. They haven't been to the championship. They had a chance 2 years ago against Carruthers, and then Carruthers scores the last minute, goes for two, and goes for the win, and they get it on the swinging gate. And then last year, I believe Torres beat Coalinga. So they lost to two teams that were just a little bit better than them. And this year, I feel like they're better than everyone else except maybe Shafter. They haven't played that opponent that's challenged them yet except Washington Union in the first round. And that was just because, I think, familiarity. Union played them earlier in the year, so they were able to game plan better. Coalinga won that game by a missed PAT and a field goal. And then after that, they've been electric the last 2 weeks. Blowing out Chowchilla, who I think won all but one game up to that point. And then they beat Roosevelt, which I feel like Roosevelt, the magic kind of run out. Yeah. They had to travel really far for this game. And they're a young team, too. They're going to be a lot better in years to come. So Coalinga, with the senior-laden roster, Dylan Teixeira, who another friend of mine, Alec Nolan from ABC 30, told me, he's electric, man. This guy should be talked about more. He had some unreal plays last night for Coalinga. Dylan Teixeira did. And then, obviously, I think every week we talk about Noah Tassi and what he does for the Coalinga Horned Toads. It'd be the picturesque ending to his career and every other senior's career, to Teixeira's career, all of them, if they beat Shafter on the road. But Shafter's really good,
they
man.
Are really
they
good.
They won so many games without their stud quarterback, Easy Osborne, with Marion Sloan running the ball a lot. So this is tough because I've said this is Kalinga's year, but Shafter might be slightly better.
I've thought Shafter has been a top 15 team in the Central Section overall.
Yeah.
Right? They're just right there, right? And
they beat Kennedy, who could easily be in the D3 title game.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. Again, we're going to be talking with Coach Perucci from Shafter after the break. All right, so Morro Bay and Selma in Division 5. Morro Bay upsets number 1 Bishop Union 28-20. Selma holds on. It was 14-0 for a long time. Defeated Delano 14-6. Morro Bay is one of those coast schools in the championship game. I think Atascadero a couple years ago won like mid D5 and even won a state title, I believe. Morro Bay, Selma's going to travel there. Thoughts on Selma? What a magical season for those guys as a 7 seed.
The defense was great. I heard you guys on the broadcast mention that shutout that was going on that lasted into the third quarter. We talk a lot about that quarterback running back duo. Aaron Ramirez at quarterback, Jacob Hernandez at running back. We learned last night that defense could definitely come to play. And you had some questions because they did give up quite a few points to Hoover. They won that game in more of a shootout fashion. But Selma putting down the defense that scored quite a bit against Strathmore the week before. They had whatever they wanted on offense against Strathmore, Delano did.
Yeah.
Delano did not have those opportunities last night against Selma. And it's so cool for Selma because I think they won one game last year. And now they're back in the Division 5 championship.
The program, let's be honest, was in the dumps a few years ago. The COVID season was an absolute disaster.
And it's
the
crazy
numbers were down.
Matt Logue had them rolling.
Yeah, and then they won the section title, and Matt Logue, you know, goes to Sanger. But young coach Francis done an amazing job turning that program around. So that's going to be a really good, fun matchup. Big upset in Division 6.
Big upset.
Huge upset. Miramonte, who won one. You mentioned Selma. Miramonte won one game last year.
Yeah.
And the 12 seed, they traveled to number one Minarets. Talk about a long drive. That's a long drive. Minarets was up. They were down and then took the lead 22-21. Miramonte kicks a field goal as time expires. Upset. They're going to be facing number three, Lindsay, defeated Corcoran.
Yeah, I'm
is
a big fan.
Is this true? 42-2.
Yeah, we had high stakes that game last night on Fox 26. Okay, Lindsay's legit, man. They just take advantage of any edge you give them. Corcoran fumbled the ball on a kickoff. Lindsay falls on it. Lindsay's able to score off turnovers. They're able to run the ball whenever they want. And I think this is going to be a good matchup for Lindsay because Miramonte coming off beating the one seed off a last minute field goal. Can they refocus against a Lindsay team that is red hot right now? They did lose three straight to end the regular season, including a tough one against their rival Strathmore in the Bell game. But Lindsay has rebounded since then. I mean, look at their scores in playoff play. 47-34, 24-13. They're winning these games by double digits. 42-2 is 30 points. So I feel like Lindsay's definitely turned it on in the postseason. Miramonte has to come ready to play to pull off another upset.
Yeah, all right. Good stuff there, Gabe. Overall thoughts, is there like an upset pick? I know I don't have everything listed here, but
off the top of my head, I could see Selma going to Morro Bay.
Okay.
I mean, they beat Delano, who I thought played really well against Strathmore, but then Selma shut him down on defense. I just feel like this is lineup well for Selma. They don't have to travel to Bishop. That's a great plus.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Drive that way, find some mountains and some snow, and look for a football stadium and play a football
game. They're
going
to play by the coast, maybe see the Morro Rock or something.
That's
I don't know where Morro Bay's high school is at. But.
All right. We got a couple minutes here, Gabe. Fantastic job as always. CIF, right, gets a lot of flack for their playoff seedings, right? Nothing's perfect. We talk about it from August on until now. However, you got some darn good championship games, right? Last night we did. Got some good championship games next Friday, don't we?
Yeah, CBC, Bakersfield Christian should be closer than the first time. Kerman Madera is definitely going to be close. Like I said, the way Madera's offense came alive against a good defense gives me confidence that they can score a lot of points against Kerman's really good defense. And Kerman's story itself, we saw last night Central avenge a championship game loss. And I wonder if Damon Jenkins uses that as pregame fuel, like, hey, Central did it. They beat the two best teams in the track, Clovis North and Clovis East. Why can't we do it against a Madera team that's definitely going to be playing with fire, knowing that they played in a division they shouldn't have played in last year and they've dominated this division except for that Kennedy game, which could have gone either way. I feel like Kerman and Madera is going to be the best game of this upcoming weekend, followed closely by CVC, Bakersfield Christian, and then Kalinga Shafter. I guess you're right. There's too many for me to really pick the best one. Because Kalinga Shafter easily could be the best game when you look at the fact that Tossie versus Osborne, two of the best Division IV quarterbacks all year long, go against each other, and the defenses don't get enough love on those teams.
We're fired up, Gabe.
I don't know.
We're fired up.
Like, we're doing the Kerman Madera game on TV and radio.
All right.
But I wish we could have someone go to Shafter and broadcast that game, or go to Bakersfield Christian and broadcast that game. Maybe hit up Trevor Horn of the Kern High Network so we can see that game, so I can have like a red zone of all the best title games going on next weekend.
I'm all for it, man. Or we got to find a way to clone ourselves and be at different places at once. And this is great. I want one question about basketball before we take a break.
So look at this. North coming back last night.
What's that?
North coming back last night to beat Western.
Did they? I've been so busy with this. Did they?
Yeah, they were down. And they came back to win, I guess, Weston Ranch.
All right, really quick. To your left, Madera Letterman's jacket. To my right, Kerman Letterman's jacket. Right there. It's just calling our name, right? You can just feel already the rivalry and the tension here in the building. All right, so North comes back and beats Weston Ranch.
Weston Ranch. I just want to mention that real quick. And then also a lot of good high school basketball games at the Save Mart Center today.
Correct. Yeah, so we got Clovis West boys against Inglewood at 7, and then North plays tonight, Sacramento at 8:30. Demetrius Porter does a fantastic job. It's called the Heart of the California Showcase. It's their third year. There's some games going on right now as well. It's all day. Great stuff there. High school basketball is here. All right, you got St. Joe's, who brings back everybody and a little bit more.
Yeah.
You better believe they're going to be on a revenge tour. Got Clovis North, missing a few pieces from last year's championship team, but they have a big three that's going to be fun to watch. You got San Joaquin Memorial with a bunch of dudes. They're going to be awesome to watch. Clovis West, obviously, with DJ Stickman, who's got an offer from his old coach, Vance Wahlberg, to Fresno State. So high school basketball is here. Boys and girls, too. Clovis West girls ranked preseason number 8 by Cal High Sports. So, Gabe, we did it. We got through half an hour talking about high school sports. It is awesome. We love it, right?
It's great.
It never stops.
Thank you, Paul, for having me, man.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Gabe, we'll text you and talk to you soon. This is going to be a fun week. Looking forward to these games. So thanks for coming in to First String Sports. We're going to take a break. We got Shafter coach Gerald Perucci talking about the great stuff going on there down south. I hear that their stadium has a great show that they put on with the lights and the scoreboard and all that good stuff. They find themselves in the championship game hosting another one against Kalinga. We're going to hear from him and a little bit more. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Just had a really good conversation with Gabe Camarillo. Does a fantastic job breaking down games. I think we flow pretty well together. And we love high school sports. I hope that passion comes through. We get kids' names out there. We talk about the coaches and, just all the good stuff, right? Right? Positive. And Shafter had a great game last night. They defeated my alma mater, the Emmanuel Eagles, last night, 31-22. They are 11-1 on the season. They're going to play number 3, Kalinga, at home next Friday for the D4 title. And we got Coach Gerald Perucci, friend of the show, live from Shafter, California. Coach, how you doing this fine Saturday morning?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing really good. All right. So thanks for coming on again. You took care of my alma mater, and I must like you or something to bring you on after you do that to my guys. But congrats on the win. So just kind of walk us through the game last night. You know, Emmanuel comes in, after that upset against McLean. They are a ball-controlled offense. They do a good job at what they do. So just kind of walk us through the game plan and then how you guys executed it last night.
Well, Emmanuel does what they, you said it, they do what they do really, really well. I mean, their coaching staff understands their personnel. They understand their strengths. They understand their weaknesses. And I think like any good coaching staff, they get the most out of what they have. And so they came in with a very ball control minded offense. The thing though that we struggled with, they ran probably every reverse pass, throwback pass that there is created, and really hurt us a lot on misdirectional things like that. So I was very proud of our front because, Emmanuel has like a 6'7", 330. They have like 3 or 4 guys that are really past the eye test and can get after the and get off the ball. And then our D-line did a pretty decent job against them. We gave up one long run. But it was the other things that they did. And I think that's just, coach having the cojones to call those types of things and having a lot of success with them. So, they did a really good job. We came out in the first half and got after them a little bit. We gave up a touchdown late in the half but they brought it back. They made it a little closer. Halftime, we came out, and then it became a little bit of a back-and-forth battle. We had just gotten enough points in the first half, though, to kind of come out on top in the back-and-forth as the game went on. And they had a chance there at the end to possibly score, and we ended up being able to hold them out on a long fourth down. So, beating a team like Emmanuel is tough because of what they do and the mindset of their kids. And for our kids to answer that, especially – we had a week full. I had 8 players out all week long, 8 players, like actual starters, that were out all week long with the flu. Mm. And so we had to really do a lot of pare down and kind of adapt our practices to allow for those kids being out. And they still showed up and and played a pretty decent team against a really good pretty decent game against a really good football team.
Yeah, nice synopsis of that game. I was getting text messages from some of my Emmanuel friends about the game, and they're updating me while we were calling the Central and Clovis East game. So it sounded like a hard-fought game, so congrats on that win. So now you turn your attention to Kalinga. The 3 seed, Exeter, was the 2 seed but got upset in round one. They are undefeated on the season, so only one loss between the two of you guys heading to that D4 championship game. That's Gabe and I were just talking. I don't know if you heard Gabe Camarillo and I were breaking down that game. We're like, man, we wish we could be at 4 different games next Friday. They're all really good. But this one, man, it's just so tasty, right? Just kind of what are you expecting in that game, and what's the book on Kalinga?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about, like, the polar opposite of what we saw last week, it's Emmanuel and Kalinga. I mean, Kalinga is a 4-wide, 5-wide offense that, you know, they understand quick game concepts in the passing game. They run basic stuff in their run game, but they're obviously built around getting their athletes out, the ball out in space. Defensively, they get after the ball fairly well. I think that they do a good job of containing the big players on a offense. Whenever you get this late in the season, both teams are pretty good at what they do. And so it's the team that's able to come out and do all the little things and probably have the least amount of mental mistakes that walks away when you have two teams that are pretty evenly matched. So, you know, I've watched about maybe an hour of film this morning on them. More stuff broke down probably by the end of the day after my movie today. But, yeah, they're a good football team. We're going to need to have all hands on deck and be dialed in to beat a very good Horned Toad.
You got a good quarterback on your side, still only a junior. Osborne, I know he missed some games earlier this season, but that dude's a different maker, and he's been there before. He won a section title as a freshman. So how's your quarterback been playing the last few weeks?
You know, I think you always try to look at the good things that happen, especially when it's bad things. And I don't think we knew it at the time, but it may have been one of the better things for Easy to actually go down with the injury. Not from the standpoint of playing and everything else, but I think the mindset, you know, when you're a kid, you know, as much as I do, we sometimes still do this. We're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Right. And so you have a tendency, I think, to get into a groove, always thinking that the next day is going to be the next day. And usually that perspective changes a little bit as you get older. But I think him getting hurt allowed him, I think it helped him snap him back a little bit into appreciating and working hard in the everyday moments, because you never know when the next moment isn't going to be the next moment. And his work ethic and his attention to detail has really come back over the last 3 weeks. And he also really started breaking down film a lot more with me. And so he started watching stuff through my eyes, and he was helping Marion Sloan, who was our quarterback at the time, come off. And he'd be talking to me during plays and during in between stuff about stuff he saw. And now he comes off the field and has a lot more, like, I think, coaching data, when I say that type of stuff, yeah, of what things are going on. And him and I sit down and we watch our instant replay on the sidelines, and we'll go through stuff and he'll give me some ideas. So I think it's helped him, I think, mature as a player. But at the same time, I know you never want to give up games, especially in high school. So it's been a blessing and a curse, I think, for him. But this last game, I thought he did a really good job of taking what they gave us. They really dared us to just grind the clock, taking away the deep ball. And he did exactly what I wanted him to do. And so he played a really smart football game. So I was really happy with him this week.
And so, all right, so set the stage for what next Friday is going to look like. You're hosting the D4 championship game. True story, you guys are blasting Enter Sandman by Metallica, and the lights are turning on and off in the stadium. Like, just kind of explain exactly what that looks like and how awesome that is.
Well, I'll just we're already talking with the city of Shafter. We're going to probably do a tailgate at Shafter High School that will be open to the public to come and tailgate around noon till the game time on campus. We'll have our pregame show. I teach broadcast journalism, so I have my broadcasters. We do the live stream there, and we'll have a pregame show set up with all that other stuff going on there. And then once the game time starts, we do a lot of our intro is Enter Sandman with the light show. You know, we'll have our fog machine and our cold sparklers going. Cheerleaders have their dance that they do to Enter Sandman. And then we also have video that's playing during that time. You know, we sing Sweet Caroline with the graphics up on the video board in between the third and fourth quarter. We do a pretty good job there of in-game, along with all the instant replay and graphics and stuff up on the board. It's a fun environment at Shafter at football games that I would put against anybody around. We'd spend a lot of time on that stuff. But it's going to be a fun environment on Friday. I think whenever you get to a section championship, you know, you got to make it special, not only for the team, but I think those people that have supported you through the entire journey. And you make it a celebration of not only the team, but also everybody else. So it's going to be a fun environment.
No, it is, man. That sounds awesome. We wish we could make the journey down there on 99 and check that game out. It's going to be a good one. Again, Shafter is going to be playing Kalinga for the D4 championship game. The Generals are 11-1 on the season. What, Kalinga is 12-0. So that's going to be a very tasty matchup. We got a couple minutes here with Coach Perucci. Just really quick, Coach, how much do you follow, like, you know, the D1 schools or, you know, the Bakersfield Christians? I know you got some familiarity there, but I mean, how tuned in are you with the entire Central Section?
You know what? I pay attention. I'm a fan from afar. You know, I think most coaches are really tied into their program and the day-to-day stuff, especially head coaches. I mean, there's so much stuff that goes into being a head coach nowadays that go beyond just X's and O's. But I pay attention. I think I'm friends with a lot of coaches in Bakersfield, or at least a working relationship with them that, you know, if I were to call them, I'd be able to get them on the phone. So, and I have family friends that play at BCHS. So I've been to one of their games this year to go and watch him play and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a savant like you guys, but I'm definitely somebody who enjoys how Valley football is doing and the ups and downs of a lot of programs.
All right. So, you know, I can't end our conversation without a couple fun questions. So I did a little digging on how Shafter got founded, because I do have some relatives from Shafter. So I don't know if you knew this, right? So this is according to the Wikipedia. The city of Shafter began as a loading dock along the Santa Fe Railroad and is named for General William Rufus Shafter, who commanded the U.S. forces in Cuba during the Spanish-American War. So there is a fun fact. Maybe you could put that up on your video screen before your game or something like that. There you go. Okay. Just enlighten the people.
General Shafter. Funny fact about General Shafter. The guy was obviously he was a friend of the governor, but he had gotten so fat that he was incapable of riding a horse anymore. So just another about General Shafter, yeah. And then fun fact about the Generals, too. Shafter High School, when it was founded, was not the Generals. We were the Cardinal.
All right.
We were the Cardinal for the first 5 years of Shafter High's history, and our colors were red, black, and white.
There you go. Yeah, sometime they made a change there. They got to represent old William Rufus, the General.
Yeah, we had to go.
The original.
The original OG, yeah. I mean, we don't really necessarily need to talk. We don't want to body shame General Shafter, but, yeah, the guy was definitely.
There's got to be a portrait. Isn't there a portrait of him up somewhere in the hallways of Shafter High School?
I have a portrait. It's a painting. Well, no. Actually, I have one up in our locker room of General Shafter meeting with, and it's a painting, obviously. But, yeah, the guy was a very rotund individual.
Rotund. All right. If you had the word rotund on my show today on your bingo card, go ahead and make a marker. That's awesome. Good stuff. All right. Last question here, Coach. So you're seeing Wicked ahead of Gladiator, huh? What's up with that? So you're about to go see one of the great movies this Thanksgiving. True story?
Yes. And the reason being is I've seen the Broadway show. We saw it in New York when we were there. My daughters and even I were very big theater people. My daughter's active with the theater program here at Shafter High School. I help out with tech at the theater program here. We love theater. So my girls have seen Gladiator. So I'm not preparing my kids or giving them good culture. They have seen the original Gladiator. That's on our list to go see. But when you have a chance to go see the first part of Wicked, you're going to go see the first part of Wicked. The thing I did say is I'm like, you guys are not allowed to sing. I'm not interested in hearing you guys sing next to me. I want to hear the movie. So, yeah.
You are a man of the people, man of the arts, and you're doing a fantastic job at Shafter. Congrats again on the season so far. You got one more to win, and heck, the season's not over. You got that one game, and then maybe a state playoff run as well. So thanks as always, Coach Perucci. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. All right, we got to wrap everything up here. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First Street Sports, Jeremiah Cunningham for producer Joe Kyle Biggs of the Central Grizzlies, Gabe Camarillo, just heard from Gerald Perucci of Shafter. Have a great rest of the weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.